Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, Philip Keogh is from Cabin Teely in Dublin, and he built a thriving company that scaled his business from small shows at the beginning to national tours, and indeed touring around the world as well. He's developed a great creative network here, and he's been mentoring new talent. He's become a force in events and entertainment. What you might not expect is that this business is the show business of drag. He's Victoria's Secret by night, but this morning, Philip Keogh, welcome.
Thank you. Do you know what, Oliver? Every time someone says my drag name, I'm like, oh, why did I pick that bloody name? 20 years ago, everyone wanted like a pun and something funny.
Yeah.
Now everyone wants to sound like the Naomi Campbell. And I'm like, oh God, your name is Victoria's Secret. I'm sitting here in RTÉ and you're going, it's Victoria's Secret.
That's a good drag name.
Is it?
I thought you had to be out early to steal that one.
I mean, maybe. Do you have a drag name? Or is that
no, how do I? How do I put together a drag name again?
Okay, so
is it broadcastable, first of all? I probably should.
I would hope so. Let's go with that.
The criteria.
Do you have any animals when you were growing up?
Animals, yeah.
Yeah, okay, what was the name?
The first pet? Is it?
Yeah, let's go first pet.
Fluffy.
Fluffy, okay, that's a strong start. And then the street name that you grew up on?
It's a townland.
Okay, what was it?
Actually, if I go for Drumlusty, it actually would work
that
very well.
Works.
It?
Fluffy Drumlusty.
Fluffy Drumlusty.
Set up the Instagram right now. Grab it before one of your listeners does.
The culty drag.
Yeah, I love it.
You're as Philip this morning because it would take so long to be Victoria.
Yeah, and I'm 41 and I'm kind of lazy. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm like
lazy at all. What time did you finish work at last night?
I got home at about just before 2 a.m. Because of course I didn't go straight home.
Did you?
Yeah, my friends were out, so we had like a little cheeky dance and then I went home.
Before you went out for the cheeky dance, did you de-drag?
Whatever the term is. Yeah, which takes longer than people think. I mean, like the makeup is very heavy and your skin really goes through it. Do you know what I mean? And
I'd imagine,
all the Botox does definitely help, but on top of that, you need a little good skincare after it as well.
The
too.
TV presenters here from long ago, they look like fishermen. The makeup thrown on and torn off each
night.
And
you kind of, like, because obviously like radio now is doing video, do you kind of wish you were in it before the video thing was? Because now when you wake up in the morning, you have to do the hair, to make sure you're looking fresh after the weekend.
It's desperate.
Yeah.
So give us the routine to turn into Victoria.
Okay.
Secret.
So I like about 3 hours, which sounds very excessive. Yes. I like to stick on little podcasts.
Joe Rogan, yeah, 3 hours.
Oh my God. Anything that's gossip related or housewives, I'm there. The shaving process starts, like that kicks it off. Podcast is on and it starts by just recarving your face out completely. Like, I don't think I look, did you look at my photos? I don't think I look anywhere similar at all.
No, you don't look like you don't look like yourself at all.
No, yeah, I put on a lot.
I've seen you before and after and you're the least recognisable.
Okay.
Drag. Some people kind of look like their drag star.
Yeah.
But you don't, I don't want to say you look normal, but you don't look drag. Do you know what I mean?
I'm putting that in my bio now. You look normal.
Because drag is so out there.
Yeah, no, it is. Totally. And it is an elevated version of yourself, but also it's still you at the same time. Like I can switch it on whenever I kind of need to. That was kind of the magic power when I realized this character that is me on stage used to be like so confident. And then out of drag, I was like really shy. I was like, you're the same person. Why are you so able to do anything when you're in drag?
That
you put a wig
weird,
on.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, just like click into that in your head. And anytime, it's kind of like a superpower.
Well, the psychologists, particularly child psychologists, have put kids who might have suffered trauma in their kind of Superman costumes or whatever comic book hero they like and go, just imagine yourself as that person. And then they go away and they have all this confidence. And then they are reminded at the end going, it's still just you.
That's genius. Do you do that?
Maybe I do in a roundabout way, but is that what you do with drag?
I think so, yeah, because like I went through school, I was too afraid to talk. Like I remember geography, our teacher wanted us to read the whole class, which was probably not the best teaching. They just wanted to like the whole time it was read this paragraph, read that paragraph out loud.
And
I never wanted to be picked. One, because I knew that my voice was a little bit more... my voice didn't break as quick as the other boys did for a start, and then it would jump, you know, that kind of like teenage jump thing.
You hate it, don't you, at the time?
I know. I felt like I was going to get clocked for that. So I never wanted to be really the one who spoke or seen. I just wanted to go through school really quiet.
Did you get away with it not being spotted?
Yeah, pretty much.
Not by the bullies, not by anyone?
None. Just- None whatsoever. Yeah, and I had like good friends, and then I went to art college to do a business degree. Why? I have no idea, but I did.
It's worked out very well.
It has, yeah. But that really brought me out of myself, because I think I thought when I went to art college, I'm going to come out, everyone is going to be like, oh my God, and in art college, nobody cared. Do you know what I mean? There was people juggling in the courtyard. I was the least interesting of all of them. And then I think, because I was surrounded by all these artists, I was like, wow, I'm going to give drag a go. Never did I think I'd be still doing it 20 years
later.
That's
quite a step, isn't it?
Where, yeah.
Do you just, you can't simply just walk into dragdom, surely.
Not really. It's a lot easier now because of like YouTube. You could go on and watch how to do your makeup, how to like style a wig.
I mean, just the decision to do this this very kind of hyper performance.
Yeah. I was probably craving a bit of attention, which just sounds very shocking for a gay man, I'm sure. But like, and it looked fun. I was coming in, I was watching Shirley Temple Bar on stage.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is magic. What is this at first? And then when I figured out that they're actually having good crack and making money at the same time, I was like, okay, let's give it a go and see what happens.
Did you have to announce at home, I'm going to become a drag artist? I'm in art college.
I didn't. I probably didn't tell them at first. I'm trying to think. I know I had a bag of drag in my bedroom. And you know, every Irish mammy opens your post and also goes through your bedroom. So she found a bag of like drag. God. And I remember her bringing me down. She won't mind me saying this at all. And she was like, oh, can we talk about this? Like, what is
But you're
this?
Out as a gay man to
oh,
her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So a bag of drag is then
yeah.
suddenly...
Well, she's seen like tights in a bag and she's going, what the hell is happening here? And I was like, so I'm doing drag. And she was like, I don't think she knew what it was straight away, to be honest. But like every good mammy, by the end of the week, she was washing the tights as part of the weekly wash cycle.
Go
so
way.
Yeah, yeah. She's,
you're very
she's a great
convincing
woman.
When you get going.
She just, I mean, she's always supported me like through absolutely everything. But I think at first she was like, I think every mother is like worried about what's the safety in everything that you do. And I think especially like with drag, you know, we're safe within these venues, but like when we're on the street, someone could potentially look at us and go, be freaked out, react kind of weird or strange. You could be not safe. I mean, Dublin's not very safe anyway at the moment.
Has that not changed because drag is so mainstream now?
I don't think so. Like, no. In a weird way, when I was walking to gigs maybe 15 years ago, I probably felt a bit safer than I do right now. So I have like an office around the corner from the George. I know that sounds absolutely wild that a drag queen has an office, but I do. I have a whole wall just of wigs and costumes.
You're very busy. I mean, we'll get into the business side of it.
Sure, yeah.
But to people like your mum at the time and to people who don't, who've never been to a drag show, that's probably most people in Ireland even, they might have seen RuPaul on TV, but it's a completely different form of entertainment than anything that kind of existed before, isn't it? What essentially, how would you describe it to someone who's never seen it before?
Well, I think firstly, they probably have. They've gone to a panel and they've seen a panto dame and they've seen Mrs. Brown's Boys on TV and, you know... like
you count it?
Yeah, I
Any
really
man
do.
Any man dresses woman?
I do. Like, I do think that... Sorry, what's the Mrs. Brown's person called? Who does it?
Brendan O'Carroll.
Yeah, I think he's doing drag. Absolutely is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think
we're
all doing drag as well. Like, everyone, like, puts on something to go to work and, like... They're not wearing that at home. Do you know that kind of way? There is like a uniform to life and ours is just a little bit more flamboyant. But yeah.
A little bit more.
Just a small bit, you know? And wait, a lot more uncomfortable as well.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult. And yeah. You're a fit man, but you have to be for the job.
I mean, I spent most of my 30s not being very fit. This is like a new thing. I've gotten really into fitness at the moment. I'm obsessed with going spinning. It's my whole personality. My friends are just probably sick of hearing me
One
talk
of those
about
spin
it.
Spin people. Oh my
I am. Oh, I absolutely love it. We do the full choreography. Like, it's to Britney, Whitney, Mariah, the whole lot. And I'm in my element.
There's no quiet hour of the day for you at all, is there?
No, but that is my favourite time because I actually get to switch off my phone for a whole hour and not be connected to the world too.
Very
so,
good. Yeah. But in terms of the fitness, is it the stilettos that do the job?
I think it definitely, I think it's probably helped my legs a bit, like, but no. And I'm not a great dancer, by the way. Like, I've really had to force myself how to figure out how to do a 1, 2, 3, 4 because, you know, drag, you end up on the stage, but there's no training for it. So, like, it's not like someone's gone to college and studied this arts degree to go on stage to be a drag queen. Maybe one or two have, but I'm definitely an accidental drag queen for sure.
But it is a huge fitness regime, isn't it? Like, is it the dancing in stilettos? What is the, it's the pain of corsets?
I do. Like, I absolutely do. I wear a corset. I'm in 5-inch heels. My toes look like goblins by the end of the night, for sure. It's very uncomfortable. And it certainly, yeah, you're dancing around like you're out of breath by the end of it. It is a bit of a workout, for sure.
Women don't tend to do all the spinning and stuff just to go around in stilettos. What's the difference?
I think they do. I mean, it's me and the gals a lot of the time at the spin classes. I'm doing that because I really love it. It's not because of drag, for sure. Like, I mean, I was 25 kilos heavier last year and I still was on stage knocking it out. So
25 kilos?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a big fitness glow up.
So. Wow. That's a significant one. Is it easier now?
Oh my God, yes. I'm coming off stage and I'm not like absolutely gasping for air. So that's quite nice, for sure.
So the fitness is up. In terms of the form of entertainment, drag is different. Some of them almost only do the lip syncing thing, which I always found kind of strange. I always want to hear from the drag artists, because you've had to formulate a voice.
Totally.
The crowd work, like stand-up comedians, is really important, isn't it?
Sure, yeah. And I think that's where we really succeed. So, like, I've been lucky enough to perform from everywhere, from Japan to LA to New York to all around Europe. And there's something about the Irish charm that really wins over a crowd.
Even in drag?
Yeah, for sure. Even in, like, I think the only place that I totally went down not a storm was Finland. They just did not get my humour whatsoever. But like...
That's the entire nation of Irish people in Finland.
It was very serious. But other than that, like, the Irish charm really wins everyone around. And the crowd work is really important. But our scene is definitely built upon lip syncing. The UK is a lot more live singing. Some of them shouldn't be live singing, by the way, but some of them are still. But yeah, we're mostly lip syncing here.
Is that just an Irish thing?
No, not really. America is mostly lip syncing as well.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, like, there's room for absolutely everything. I've seen literally all sorts on stage, but our scene, I mean, Shirley Panty.
You're mostly live, aren't you? You do.
I'm not. I'm a terrible singer. Oh my God! Please don't even ask me to sing Happy Birthday. Like, you know, if I have to sing Happy Birthday at an event, I start and I go hop, and then try and get the crowd to go in.
Very good.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of it? Do you like the crowd work, or do you like when the track comes on and you switch off your mic?
I like a bit of both. I mean, if you've a really electric crowd, like, we were in the George last night for Shirley's Bingo. The crowd was electric. They're all there for a bit of crack on a Sunday night. I think it's the busiest place on a Sunday in Dublin because, you know...
I hear this, yeah.
It's really good fun. And I just love being on stage, connecting with the crowd, having fun. Like, what job do you get to do that and really go a bit wild every time you're on stage?
And it is a proper business. You kind of spotted the fact that people want to do tours and that you could mentor younger acts and become a kind of promoter, basically, like a concert promoter, really, but for drag.
Totally. So I went to college because I thought I wanted to get into event management, and then I kind of ended up in event management in the end without really planning to. There's a TV show called RuPaul's Drag Race. For years, we were touring people all around Europe, all around the UK. I don't know if you can picture it, but 12 drag queens on a double-decker bus. It's very Spice Girls movie era, sitting up in the sitting room late at night. Oh my God, wild. The stories that I have, I need to release a book about it, because I don't know if I can actually even print some of those stories, to be honest.
Wait for some of them to go, maybe. First.
Yeah.
Do drag queens get along with each other?
Not always, no.
Really?
Yeah, not always. Like, being fully real, me and one of my best friends, like, we worked together for over 20 years, but for 2 years we actually didn't speak at all. We've had a big falling out, and that was really tough, to be honest.
What did you fall out over, can you say?
Well, we created a whole podcast about it, so I can't just give it away for nothing.
You can
go on and listen to it. It's called Petty Little Things, because we fell out about petty little things. Yeah. And that was really difficult, but also it was very shaping. I learned a lot from it, and we are now closer than ever as well.
The row, whatever the row is about, is not really what it's about.
No.
Did you figure out?
I think we forgot what it was about too. I do know one thing though, I was right the whole time, so that's the main thing.
What was the problem? Just people, close friends, working in too close proximity to each other?
Yeah, we're all self-employed and we're all like friends, and like, you know, working together can get, I suppose, difficult times. But the thing is, we're all changing as well at the same time, and that was kind of growing pains maybe as part of our friendship, which I think most people can relate to. And then we came back at like 2 a.m. one Sunday in the George, little tear and hug, and it was all over.
End of the feud.
Yeah. We did call it a feud, by the way.
You can milk that now for years, can't you?
We did. Like, it's strung out over 10 episodes of a podcast. So there you go.
We see the fun bit where you're dressing up and shoes go flying sometimes mid-performance.
Yes, they do.
On Instagram.
No one's been hurt yet.
What about the actual business, though? Is your day-to-day sitting in your office.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love sitting on the sofa too and with my laptop, but it's always a hustle. Like, I think we have our regular gigs and then, you know, different times of the year, such as like Pride or Christmas or Halloween, you're dealing with like different companies who want to produce events in maybe their office or around venues around the city. It's not as glamorous as you think. Like, someone has to get up on a Monday after working all weekend and answer all the emails, and that someone is you.
That's you.
Yeah.
Is that the bit of the business you hate? But it has to be done.
I'm a bit of a nerd, to be honest. Like, I really, like, once I see the email coming in, I'm like, right, come on, let's get on to it. I'm sure there's someone right now listening going, you haven't replied to my email, by the way, and I'm so sorry, I'll do it straight after this. I also just woke up to get here, you know. I wanted to say good morning to you, and I was like, you're probably up since 6 a.m. I better not say good morning.
And you've amazing stationery, I'd imagine, that office.
No, I'm paperless now.
Oh, is it? And what else is part of the business? Because what else do you do? The drag tours.
Yeah, I do. So my background, I was a marketing manager for a theatre for 12 years. I worked out in Axis and Ballymun. I miss it sometimes still, but also it's kind of hard to like burn the candle at both ends when you're up late at night working on an event and then you're in trying to sell a theatre show during the day. And sometimes I'm still tempted to go back to the 9 to 5.
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
Even after all of this?
There's a lot to be said to just wake up and know you're getting paid on Thursday. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but part of this success is you having a mortgage really young.
Yeah, since I'm 24. Thanks, Mum. You really pushed me into that one. So
so this self-employment has worked spectacularly well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at the time I was working 60 million jobs and it was just before the lovely crash as well. So I got in there.
And it has survived the crash. I presume it was kind of boom times entertainment, wasn't it, in the crash?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It was really busy. Like, I think at the time, Oliver was working 6 nights a week and 5 days a week at the same time. But I was also 24. I was very able to do that at the time. Try and make me do that now. There's not enough eye cream for me to do that. No.
And you have to bring international big names in the drag world.
Yeah. I mean, like, drag has become such a big business. Mm-hmm. Some of my friends are selling out massive, like, two of my friends sold out the Three Arena. I was like, that's amazing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got to open for a show in the Three Arena last year. It's the weirdest feeling ever. How am I lip syncing, doing a little dance in the middle of the Three Arena? And I'm like, this is wild.
That
I saw the
mad
Spice Girls in this venue and I was like, this is the best night of my life. And now you're on that stage.
Just the idea that any drag would sell out a venue that size seemed to be wild.
I know.
What made the difference, do you think? Obviously, RuPaul is the one that gets all the credit, but why did the mainstream audience suddenly latch on to this as a form of entertainment that's been missing in my life?
I think it's just more, it's just everywhere. Now from RuPaul's Drag, it's everywhere. But I think in Ireland, we don't give drag the credit that it got. Like, I was a teenager watching Shirley Temple Bar called Bingo on RTE.
Yes, you're very early on.
Very early. So it's always been a part of our culture here. And amazing things have happened. I don't know if you remember, but like RTE2 did a gay night when I was a teenager as well. Panty hosted something. Brendan hosted something. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it in my bedroom with the volume down very low because I was not out at the time. And so I do think that drag has always been a part of lots of things that we've done here, but the fact that it was on Netflix with RuPaul's Drag Race has definitely made it aware to a bigger audience. Mm-hmm. And then more opportunities have come from that.
The attempts to ban the kind of drag reading as well in libraries kind of helped it.
I mean, do you know what? Ask most drag queens if they want to read to kids anyway. They don't. Do you know what I mean? First of all, they don't want to wake up that early either. I know that's been a huge conversation in America. And like, I think sometimes our news can be dominated by America.
But the outrage kind of let everybody know this was a thing that existed.
Yeah.
Though it's obviously nowhere near the core.
No.
The core drag business, essentially.
Totally.
There's a text in from Mary saying, please ask Philip if they've seen the Welsh rugby match where a team of drag players play against a rugby team to raise money for a children's charity. It was brilliant and the funniest thing I've seen lately.
Yes, I actually did. So one of my friends was playing in full drag. They actually were in from Cardiff last night watching our show. Polly is her name. And now I don't see myself in full drag on the rugby
pitch.
With
this new fitness thing.
Do you know what I mean? As much as my dad would be only thrilled at the thought of me playing rugby, no, I'll stick to the spin bike for now.
I know, that's a great sight. I'd love to see. Think about it.
I've done spinning a drag, by the way. Full drag, corsets.
Spinning, you do that every day. We want to see the rugby.
Maybe.
Thank you so much, Philip. And we can find out more of the podcast, Petty Little Things.
Yes.
With Davina Devine.
Yes, absolutely.
And all the events we'll find. If you go to Instagram, is that the best place now?
Yeah, Victoria's Secret Dublin on my Instagram. Come check me out.
No more regrets about that name.
I mean, many. I mean, I'm also open to new suggestions for a new surname. So if anyone wants to text that in, go for it.
The branding is there for good. Philip Keogh, thank you so much and happy dragging.
Thank you.
Is that a phrase I could use?
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.